so the winning streak comes to an end. Montreal Canadiens 6 straight met Calgary Flames, who had won 7 straight. Only one streak could continue. Yeah, the Flames pushed it to 8. With a big win over your Montreal Canadiens. 5-0 Calgary Flames, downing the Habs on Thursday night. I'm Zach Vanoss. This is the Recency Bias Podcast, brought to you by RabbitHabs.com and the Montreal Bias Podcast, for which I am the co-host. You can find that on Twitter at the Montreal Bias. You can find Rabbit Habs at Rabbit Habs. And you can find me. Find me on Twitter for all my takes on everything, not just hockey, at Zach Drops Tweets. Good to have you along on this Friday morning. Hopefully, if you're an East Coast Habs fan, you did not stay up for the entirety of that game. 9 o'clock start in the East Coast. And not worth it at all, obviously. So hopefully you took advantage of the fact that the Habs got schlacked 5-0 and just went to bed early. I did not watch the whole thing. Mostly to make up for the fact that, and I apologize, didn't do one of these after the Canadiens played the Canucks on Tuesday. That was a 10 o'clock start, and truthfully, I'd been a little under the weather, and staying up late to watch hockey just didn't seem like a wise choice. But I made that choice too late to get Ian to come in here. Anyway, that's the backstory on why there was no podcast earlier this week when the Habs were still winning, and now I get to come in and do one after a 5-0 loss. Also, I was very shaken in the aftermath of having said fresh of breath air instead of breath of fresh air about Claude Julien on the last recency bias that I did. Very shaken. Had to reassess things. So, good to be back on the podcast this morning, though. Just wish there would have been a bit of a different result on Thursday night. Of course, Al Montoya getting the start for the Habs, Carey Price with the flu. You kind of wonder if maybe the flu's going around the whole team, but you had to put some players out there. What a lackluster effort from the Canadiens. Just outplayed in every way, shape, or form. There's really nothing good to take out of that game. To the point, you know, you kind of wonder, what does Claude Julien do after a game like that? You're coming off of a 6-game winning streak. Not that the Canadiens were perfect through that streak by any stretch. I mean, several of those wins having to come in overtime or with like 8 seconds left in the game. But a game where everything just seems to fall apart, where nothing really seems to work. I don't know what you do besides hope that it's a bit of a wake-up call, hope that perhaps there's some bad habits that set in over a 6-game winning streak, or as players had become a little more relaxed, or whatever it was that led to the performance at the Saddle Dome on Thursday, whatever that was, you just hope that the 5-0 beatdown was enough to shake it off. Of course, no Carey Price in nets doesn't help, but when you don't score a single goal, Carey Price isn't going to get you. I mean, like he could still get you 1 point, I suppose, but he's not going to get you the win if you can't score. And poor Al Montoya in there, and not his strongest night either. But when they don't score, it really doesn't matter how many he lets in. Fun fact, and this is pretty much going to be the crux of the podcast today, I learned, and maybe you knew this, but I learned recently that Al Montoya's real name is Alvaro Montoya. Now, what the heck is he going by Al for? This is the real question I wanted to bring up on the podcast today. Why is he not going by Alvaro? I think he might be an NHL starter if he was known as Alvaro Montoya instead of Al Montoya. Al's a backup. Alvaro, that's a starter. So, just something for Al to think about, the big Cubano. That's what it says on the back of his mask. I'm not just throwing that out there. So any positive takeaways from Thursday? Gallagher looks good again. Gallagher's doing the things that he wasn't doing earlier in the season. Seeing him do it in the last few games, seeing him start to return to that Gallagher form, seeing a guy with his arm around Gallagher's head, pulling him back from the net, seeing him get in there and get dirty. We weren't seeing that earlier in the season. Gallagher seems to be back and doing those things, so that was good. Yeah, decent night for little guys overall. I thought Paul Byron playing against his former team, the team that left him on waivers for Marc Bergevin to scoop him up and make him a valuable addition to our squad. He seemed like he was trying to prove something on Thursday, but, you know, not enough. Didn't find the back of the net. Did have an awesome fight. And as a guy who's about Paul Byron's size, love that he's getting in there and going against another guy of smaller proportions. That was fun to see. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of fighting. I don't necessarily condemn it. But when I'm watching a little guy go toe-to-toe with another dude, that's pretty fun. That's a little bit of fun. Then Steve Ott got in and really fired the Habs up. They really came back on that one. Emelin back in the lineup. Another detail from this one. Alexi Emelin returning to the fold. Another bad night for Alexi Emelin. Wouldn't surprise me if Alexi Emelin finds his way back to healthy scratch status after this one. Am I saying that because I think it's going to happen, or am I saying that because I hope it's going to happen? I'm not sure, but yeah, Alexi Emelin, I know, broken record, and I apologize, but last night, just another example of what is he supposed to do? What's he for? I don't understand. I don't understand. I was watching with a buddy last night, and we were saying, like, I would like somebody to explain to me the purpose of Alexi. I would like the NHL coaches who continue to put him in, because obviously I guess they see something there. I would like it explained right now why Alexi Emelin still get in there night after night when I think more capable bodies are not. But let's not linger too long on the Alexi Emelin point on this one, because the entire team was bad. I mean, they were outplayed by the eye test. They were outplayed by the advanced metrics. They were outplayed, obviously, on the score sheet. They were outplayed every single way. So I'm not going to just hang this one on Alexi Emelin, or certainly not going to hang this one on Al Montoya. This was a complete crap effort from the whole squad. So the winning streak comes to an end. Meanwhile, the Ottawa Senators got a win last night. Your Habs now, 38-22-8 on the season. That's 84 points. They have passed last year's point total, at least. First, still in the Atlantic. Fifth in the East, eighth overall. As far as that Atlantic standing, two games they've played more than Ottawa still. Somehow, this late in the season, they played two more games than Ottawa and are just 2 points up. So, technically, on point percentage, the Sens have stepped back into first. But point percentage is not actual standing. The Atlantic Division will be decided in the coming weeks, because the Montreal Canadiens will play the Sens three times in five games. They got meetings coming up with them on the 18th, the 19th, and the 25th. So back-to-back, home and home. They'll start that one in Ottawa, then come back to Montreal on Sunday the 19th for a game, and then in Montreal on on March 25th. Three games out of five for the Habs there against the Sens. That's when your Atlantic Division is decided. Before the Canadiens get to the Sens, though, they will face on Sunday, 7 p.m. in Edmonton, still out west. They'll be taking on the Islanders, and then back at home at the Bell Center on Tuesday night for a 7:30 game against the Chicago Blackhawks. So a couple tough games. Connor McDavid contest coming up as well. Should be a good one. Until then, take care.